Sermon given at funeral services for Elder E. M. Whiting. At St. John's, Arizona, August 20, 1934 at 2:00 p.m. Remarks by Bishop John H. Udall. My brothers and sisters and friends, I feel it an honor to be asked to read this poem and make a few remarks at the funeral of Brother E. M. Whiting. You all remember the reunions of the Whiting family. Some publicity was given it in the papers, and I am told they plan to have this reunion on the 18th or 19th of August, but Brother Whiting told his sons and family that they better have it earlier, or he would not be able to attend it, and it is a singular thing that he passed away on the 18th of August. This poem was written by Sister Bertha Kleinman, one of the gifted women of the church and of our generation, who lives in Mesa, and is a friend of Dr. and Sister Barry and Brother and Sister Brown. Poem written by Bertha Kleinman for the Whiting family, where 204 direct descendants of the parents of May Whiting gathered at House Rock to build a more permanent marker at her grave and to compile family history. There's a lonely mound in the wasteland. In the heart of the desert plain, a grave that lies out in the twilight and under the falling rain. Like a shrine to a loved one's memory, it stands in the solitude, and the night winds whisper above it, like a prayer of beatitude. There the monolith spire of House Rock, like a sentinel, guards the plain. Like the tower of a vast cathedral, like the shaft of a temple fan. There the smoldering bulwark watches, and tempers the winds for her, as the sifting sands of the desert drift over her sepulchre. It was there in the early May time, in the May of her sweet young age, that death's angel stood in the valley and halted our pilgrimage. And sweet May, like a Maytime blossom, like a lily smote from the stem, laid down in the heart of the prairie, and we left her to slumber with them. There's a sweeter calm in the wasteland, there's a hush in the noonday glare, there's a kindlier gleam in the starlight, since we planted the dear one's shrine there. There's a tender glow in the sunset, and the dawn, like a crested wave, floods over the desolation to hallow that lonely grave. The years have been long since we left her to sleep on the hillside alone, but old House Rock is staunch in his vigil. And dearer has grown the desolate mound in the wasteland, and many the travelers who tread to strew their wild flowers above her and tell of the lonely one dead. Today we have gathered around her as sad recollections entwine her kinsmen, her home folks, her loved ones, as pilgrims come home to their shrine. And our hearts shall be tender and fonder for the teardrops bedewing our eyes. And our love shall be truer and stronger as we mark the dear place where she lies. God temper the wind and the tempest, God's watch care be over the spot, as the Maytimes are mingled with the ages and the races of men are forgot. Sleep on in the heart of the prairies, your slumber is safe in their care, and the gardens of God are more bright since the star of your presence is there. End of poem. Brother Whiting, I am told, got a great deal of pleasure in the composition of this poem, and in having it read to him, and I feel it very appropriate to have it read on this occasion. My first recollection of Brother Whiting was when I was a small boy, when the train of wagons of the Whiting family, there were several families, drove into St. John's. Later in my early teens, I worked on the Lyman Reservoir when Brother Whiting was boss there, and I had the pleasure of intimately associating with him, and he and I became fast friends, which friendship has extended throughout our acquaintance and the rest of his life. A few weeks ago, when Brother Whiting was very poorly, I went to see him, and had a nice visit with him and Sister Whiting, and he told me he didn't think he was long for this life. And I told him of the statement of a certain great man, who was on the Lusitania, when it was going down and it was evident that all the occupants of the ship couldn't be served by the lifeboats. This outstanding character was aiding in directing the women and children into the boats, and one woman accosted him and said to him, "You don't seem to be much concerned or afraid of death." And he said, "No, death is the greatest adventure in life." And Brother Whiting expressed himself that he had no fear. Why should he have any fear? I am sure if he could speak today, he would not have it otherwise, because he has lived the allotted time of men and has accomplished a great work. One of the things that has impressed me about his life particularly was his devotion to the gospel of Jesus Christ and his faith in it. I think he has told me and Sister Whiting also, two or three times of the conditions surrounding their return to Arizona. They had a comfortable, nice home, a store and other property, a sawmill in Utah. But he was stricken with a serious illness and his temperature was high, and the attending physician didn't think he would live until morning. He was visited by his deceased father, who told him to return to Arizona and finish his mission. As President Udall said, he came here earlier in life and some of the children were born here, and then they returned again to Utah. He immediately began to improve, and before he was up from his sickbed he announced that their home and property was for sale. It took several months to wind up their business and come. There were several families, Grandmother Whiting and Sister Clara Curtis Burke, whom I see here in the congregation. And of course most of us are acquainted with their lives here. But to me, the fact that this testimony, or this admonition, came from one who departed from this life, his father instructing him to return here, is a testimony of his devotion. Sister Whiting told me they had not told it much, because some people thought it was a delusion, or that he had a dream or hallucination or something. But it impressed them so, that they returned. Their life here and accomplishments indicates to me their devotion and faith. I find this faith and devotion apparent in his children. I have been well acquainted with his daughter May, particularly, also Dr. Barry and Sister Brown, since I have been serving as Bishop of the Phoenix First Ward, where they reside. One of the first drives in that ward was to get missionaries out, so that we would have 100% as the church asks. And Drive and Sister Barry are second to none in missionary work. I pay tribute to them and their son Kay, who is in the audience today. During my trips here, Grandfather Whiting always wanted to know about these missionary grandchildren. To me, the greatest testimony of all is this missionary work. The testimony of the divinity of this work. No one can question the integrity or belief or testimony of those who will go themselves, or send their children and grandchildren. To spend time at their own expense, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only plan that will save the human race. I pay tribute to this family and especially to Dr. and Sister Barry, daughter and son-in-law. There is hardly a month goes by that Dr. Barry does not baptize someone into the church. Sometimes he has baptized as many as 5 or 6 people that he has brought into the church. He has done a wonderful missionary work and has influence for good among the people with whom he lives and associates. I have appreciated this also in Brother Whiting. It seemed he could about as near live up to the admonition of some great thinker who said, "Adapt yourselves to the conditions under which your lot has been cast and the people you live among, love them but do it truly." Brother Whiting is a good example of that. He could adapt himself. I don't know a man who has got more out of life, notwithstanding his afflictions in later life. He had the knack and the ability to get out of life all there was in it of a pleasurable nature. He had a sense of humor, and could see the humorous side of life notwithstanding the seriousness of things and the hardships of the pioneer. I admire him also, as Levi has stated, for his association with his children. During the World War, young Theodore Roosevelt, Jr., while he was overseas, wrote a letter to his father, then President Roosevelt, eulogizing him for the great man he was, and how proud he was to be the son of such a man and the prestige it brought him overseas. In the Literary Digest, the president's letter to him in answer was published, and it said, "I will be just as great when history is written as my children make me." I believe Brother Whiting has had those thoughts in mind, and that he will be no greater than his family and posterity and children make him. His greatest aim and desire was to live that he might gain salvation in the celestial kingdom of God and gain salvation there with his wife and children. Brother Whiting was one who exemplified what Dr. David Starr Jordan had in mind when he made the statement that no man or woman could have a greater ancestry than men and women who had worked for a living. No blood or circumstance can place the lazy man on a level with his industrious neighbor. "The industry of the pioneers of the last generation," he said, "is in your veins. Daughters and sons of the Western pioneers, yours is the best blood in the realm." In closing, I wish to extend my sympathy to Sister Whiting. There will be a vacancy in her home, but knowing her as I do, I know she is a great woman, who can meet the issue as presented to her. There is no truer saying than laugh and the world laughs with you, weep and you weep alone. Of course, we are sympathetic with Sister Whiting and her family, but in the responsibilities of life we become negligent and thoughtless of those who have had sorrow come to them and disappointment and separation. They have to meet the issue. I think there is nothing we could do more to help our fellow associates carry their burdens than to take an interest in them. I think that is another of Brother Whiting's traits. He had a faculty of making people feel that he was interested in them. He made me feel that he was particularly interested in me, and if he made me feel that way, I am sure he did to others. What a heritage to leave to posterity, and what a name to leave to civilization, that he has had an interest in us fellow men. May the Lord bless us that we may live a good life, and may the Lord bless this family. I am sure generations yet to be born will point with pride that they came through the lineage of this family. What a blessing! What a knowledge we have that salvation in the celestial kingdom of God can only come to them that accept and subscribe to the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we emulate his life, his virtues, his character and industry. I feel that outside my immediate kinsmen I have had no better friends in life than the Whiting boys and Whiting family, Brother and Sister Whiting included, and I am glad to count them as such. This prayer I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, and I conclude these remarks. Amen.